Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you. So I know it's a cold morning, but I hope your hearts are warm because God's presence is here amongst us and he's here to encourage us. So I'd like to just pray before we come under God's word, and as he instructs us by his Holy Spirit, maybe be receptive. Father, we just thank you for a morning like this to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, to celebrate our resurrection in him. And Lord, as you encourage us through this word this morning, I pray for changed lives, Lord, as we've changed already, as you've impacted us this morning by your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, as your living word comes, Lord, may there be renewal, may there be life, may there be an outworking of all that you've destined for us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Lord said to his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait to receive power from on high. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out, and we saw the evidence, as we see in the book of Acts, how the Spirit of God actually worked with the church, and there was an evidence of the living Christ here on earth by the Holy Spirit. But you know, in I think it's AD 340 around there in Constantinople, the church got together to decide what was actually happening in the church. They were trying to put together, they put the canon of Scripture together, they tried to understand what is the doctrine, because there was so much wrong doctrine happening, and they wanted to put this thing together. But the church at that time couldn't come to an agreement, and the church actually split into two, and we got the church that was in the east and the church that was in the west. And a lot of the time we hold on to the church that was in the west, and we understand the church in the west, and we see Roman Catholicism rise up, and we see the crucifix, and we see Christ on the cross. And you will see a lot of the church in the West holds to Christ on the cross. And we see that symbolism of it, and it reminds us of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the church in the East do not really symbolize Christ on a cross. They celebrate the resurrection. They don't see Christ still on a cross. They see Christ off the cross and alive. And I want to say to you today, Christ did die on a cross. He died for you and I, that we could actually have eternal life. But Christ is risen. He's alive. And he's no longer on that cross. And yes, we hold to the symbolism of a cross, but he's not on the cross. He came off that cross. He died and he was buried, but he rose again. And I'm telling you now, that tomb, if you go to Jerusalem and you go look in that tomb, it's empty. The religions of the world and their gods that they serve, their gods are dead and they're in the tombs and they decayed, their bones died. Jesus is alive and well, and he is seated at the right hand of our Father. Jesus is in a physical body at the right hand of the Father now, and he's in us by the Holy Spirit. And I declare to you today, Jesus is alive. He died and was buried and was risen again, but he is alive. And today I want to share on a topic called resurrection life. And I go to a scripture as the Holy Spirit led me, and we turn to Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version, just to encourage us, because it gives a deeper understanding of this portion of scripture. Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. For I, through the law, under the operation of the curse of the law, having Christ's death for me, myself died to the law, and all the Lord's demands upon me, so that I may henceforth live to and for God. I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adherence and reliance on the complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this was a revelation that Paul, the apostle, had when he realized that God revealed that subsequent to his death and his resurrection, by the Holy Spirit, Christ came to live inside of him. And Paul talks in Galatians, he says that God revealed his Son in me. And that's what I really believe, is that we have to grow from not just recognizing that Jesus died on a cross, that he came back to live inside of us. And the scriptures are scattered with the evidence that God is not only alive on the right hand of the Father, but he's alive in you and me as we have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he alive? You know, we need to ask the question, this Christ that is in you, is he dormant? Is he hidden? Is he put in the cupboard on the mantelpiece to something to observe? Or is he alive and living in and through us? And I believe this portion of scripture, Paul gives us to the reality of what actually took place on the cross and the reality of who we are today in Christ. So I have 2 points to get through with some sub-points on that. So my first point, this issue of death, have I been crucified? The scripture says in Galatians 2:20 is that I have been crucified with Christ. Now, you and I were not there 2,000 years ago at the cross, and we were not necessarily physically there in Christ, but the scripture tells us that we died. We not only died, but we were crucified with Christ. Now, that's not something that you can comprehend. It's not something that you'll experience spiritually or emotionally, but it's the work that Christ completed on your behalf. And you need to, in your mind's eye and understanding, realize that even though you were predestined and you had a date of birth in the physical, because in time, there's no time in the spirit. You were there, the whole of mankind. The whole of mankind, from the time that the first man came to the last man that will be before Jesus comes at the second coming, were on that cross, and he died for all mankind. But not only did he die for me, he died for you, and he died for me. And I think sometimes we must recognize that as much as the world celebrates the fullness that it's for all mankind, Jesus went to that cross for you. And I think sometimes we don't always contemplate that. We get on with life and we get on the busyness of life and we get into what God has called us to do. But I think sometimes when we contemplate that this Jesus who loves us, who took on our sin, your sin and my sin, and took on our death and took on the wrath of God and went to this cross and died for you. And I think that's where this gratitude must come, because you have nothing to do with it. You had nothing to do with it. That's why it's called the grace of God. You cannot go to the cross again. He went to the cross and you went with him, and he said, come into my bosom. I'm taking you with me in that. That was the miracle that the devil never knew it was going to take place. The miracle of the cross. Jesus went and died there for you. And we need to have that identity that we actually died. Because if you don't die, self is going to rise again. And you're going to try and do things in your own strength, when it is the grace of God. It was the goodness and the love of God that we died with him and we were buried with him and we rise again with him. That is the power of God. You see, this experience is a fact. It's something that you need to recognize. It's not the outworking of our sanctification. Paul talks further later about actually working out and crucifying the flesh. That is the body that we've received, and putting down the body to say no to the passions and desires of the flesh. And all of us are facing that on a daily basis. We need to say no to ungodliness. But Paul is referring to this incredible fact of what Jesus has done for us. It has happened for us in Christ. Because you are in Christ, you were crucified with him. And it's such a reality today. We need to take hold of that we are in him, we are one with him, and it's a fact that has taken place to us. So what does being crucified with Christ mean? Christ finished with the world when he was crucified. He never came back to his old position, not even after his resurrection. So he was in that position, and he's never gone back to where he was. He's now at the right hand of the Father, and he's come to live inside of us. And it's the same thing as you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When you've come to Christ, your old position has gone, and now you are in Christ. The scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And I want to just say, a lot of those who are believers today do not believe this. They go back to the old man so often and live in the reality of the old man. Many, many Christians become immature and never come to a place of maturity because the old man is still ruling and reigning. They haven't seen this fact that they have died with Christ, they've been crucified with Christ, that they cannot go back. Yes, we can go back in our mind's eye and we can start to live in the flesh, but Christ has bought us our freedom, our redemption, and we have to come into this place of our inheritance in him. The blood of Jesus was with effect. It wasn't purchased. He didn't give his blood that you can go back to your old life. He's come to give you this new life, this eternal life. The price has been paid. I studied accounting, and one of the old English words is when you purchase something, you redeem it. And Jesus went to the cross, and whatever was on that invoice to pay for your sin and to pay for your life, Jesus paid for it with his very life. There was a transaction in heaven that took place. There was a payment, not a down payment, it was a payment in full. That when Jesus paid with his blood, it canceled the right of sin and purchased you and I for him. All we need to do is believe upon that. And that the fact of that day that you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And you need to be telling yourself at times that I am a new creation because of what Jesus has done on the cross. See, some of the facts of what Jesus did on the cross when we were crucified with him, we have died to the realm of sin. You have finished with condemnation. How often we still walk in such condemnation and the guilt that comes. You're no longer condemned. You're no longer condemned because of sin. You are free. You have the life of God. No longer you belong to Adam in the fallen race. You are a new creation. You are in Christ. And you know, you've got to get your mind around that. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal that. You're no longer a sinner. You were a sinner, but when you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a child of God, you became a son of God, and that you're no longer of the fallen race, you belong to the King of Kings. You have a Father in heaven. You're not the person you were before, and you'll never go back to that. You can never go back. When Christ has completed that work in you, you can never go back to the old man. It's nothing to do about growing in the outworking, become more like Christ, your sanctification or your grace. It's a fact that you have received this new nature that's come from Christ. This is all part of your justification, this price that has been paid for you. Secondly, this the Christian has the Lord Jesus living within. Galatians 2:20, it says, "But Christ who lives in me." Now, I know when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it was an incredible experience of being born again, of giving my heart to him and confessing him as Lord. And there was an experience of his presence like we've experienced this morning here. But I never knew that Christ lived in me. And it was only as the Holy Spirit over the years have brought me to a reality, is understanding the spiritual truth that Paul declares it, but Christ who lives in me. It's an incredible truth, and I think we've got to come to this understanding of it. It's something that you'll never comprehend, because the Bible says it's a mystery. But you need to understand that you and I are interwoven with Christ. As the Lord declared in John 15 that he is the vine and we are the branches, we need to come to this place of understanding that we are one with him. And it's something that I really think we've got to contend for, to understand who we are in Christ and that he lives within me. Then when you wake up in the morning, this is how real it's got to become. I believe we need to be saying to the Lord, good morning, Lord. When we go to sleep, good evening, Lord. And conversation is because we realize that he dwells within us. And I know this might seem foreign to you, and because sometimes in our minds are we looking to God that is up in heaven, and he is in heaven, and we look at that place, heaven, that he be, and Jesus is in the throne room of God at the right hand of the Father, but he is also in your heart. And I think when we comprehend that by the Holy Spirit, that he dwells within us, and we come to this reality, it is a profound mystery. When you go to school and when you go to university and you go to work and when you're working in the kitchen or you're mopping the floor or whatever you are doing, Christ is in you. And the scriptures keep on telling us that, and I think it's a reality that we need to comprehend and we need to understand, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ in us. There's some scriptures I want to just read to you that just confirm this in Romans 8 verse 10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if Christ is in you, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves and see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize that this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Colossians 1, 27, to them God chose to make known this great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. That Christ might dwell in your hearts. You know, man has had a preoccupation with space. And we see the NASA that's gone, and they've put all the Apollo missions and all those missions that are gone to them. Now they're going to Mars, and they're sending the Hubble telescope, and they got the new telescope. I can't remember what its name is. They're trying to reach out there to try and find out, is there life out there? And yeah, Jesus comes and says, you're looking for life out there, but it's within you. So often Jesus was asked, where's the kingdom of God? And everyone was looking for the kingdom of God to come, and especially at that time that they were living, they were looking for deliverance from the Roman Empire and the persecution and the stuff that was happening. They were looking for another kingdom to establish. And Jesus comes with the answer, and he says, the kingdom of God is within you. Even us here in South Africa, we might be looking for deliverance from where we find ourselves, from a situation where a nation is falling into wilderness and corruption and deceit and deception, and we're looking for a kingdom and we're looking for a new government to come and someone that will miraculously change the situations. Yes, God will answer our prayers, but I don't think it's going to happen. God wants us to look to him within us. Jesus was content to live under the Roman occupation and to preach the gospel, even in those difficult situations where they were abused by the Roman soldiers. They were by the tax collectors. The tax extortion was normal. Corruption was normal even in those days. And I know we want deliverance and we want to see righteousness, and we must continue to pray for that, but I want to encourage you today, this kingdom that God has given us, his son is within you. And this is the reality of his resurrection, that he could send his Holy Spirit and he can come to live inside of us. The third point is the Christian lives on the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ in Galatians 2:20, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. This portion of text could be read in the Greek in two ways. I live by the faith of the Son of God, or I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. And I want to just say is that that is the reality, and that now the life that we live, because we've got Christ within us, we live on his faith. It's not something of your faith in his faith, but it's his faith that he's given you, and you have faith in him. Understand that faith is so important. I want to just say, over the last while, I've just seen in the scriptures that the Lord's just reminding us, where's your faith? Where's your faith? And it's not a matter of, oh, well, I have faith. No, no, it's not faith in your faith, but it's the faith of God that is working through you. When the turmoil came to the disciples, they got into the boat and he said, let's go to the other side. And the wind and the waves came and they came to him and said, Lord, we're going to drown. He got up and he was so gracious and he rebuked the wind and the waves and it became still. But the rebuke was, where is your faith? And same today, as Christ dwells within us and he takes you on a journey and you might be going to the other side and there might be wind and there might be the storm and there might be the turmoil and the difficulty that you're going through. And yes, he will come and he will rebuke the wind and the waves, but he says, where's your faith? Because that was not his best that he would rebuke the wind and the waves. It would be you in him to rebuke the wind and the waves. And some of the things in life today, that where's your faith in God? Where's your faith in the spoken word? Where is your faith to see him bring deliverance and light and life into the circumstances that you find yourself? And this is the reality, is that when we're in Christ, we have the faith of God. And if we can comprehend that in who are we but this great God that dwells within us, and we allow him to put his words in our lips, in our mouths, and as we would speak his word, as same as he created the heavens and the earth, let there be light, there was light. You have the same authority and the same power in Christ that you can speak to your circumstances. I'm not saying name it and claim it, but I'm just saying there's something in God, and the way that he operates, he works through the spoken word. And he puts those words in our mouths and in our hearts, and that's why watch what comes out of your mouth. If it's all the filth and the darkness of this world, you're going to have what you say. But if you speak life, and I'm guilty, and I ask God to forgive me, but we're all guilty, but Lord, may we speak with life. And as we speak life, and one of the easiest ways, if you want to speak life, be thankful. Don't cuss and curse and be like the world and be negative, because that's just the world. We've got to change and we've got to be speaking life. And this faith that we have in Christ, it comes out the very words that we speak. The evidence of the living Christ within you is the way you speak. And the way you think, because there's a living person, God, within you. And if he does not transform the inward beings of who you are, I doubt whether Christ is within you. Because when you come to Christ, there is an incredible change. There's an earthquake. There's a tsunami that takes place within you when you are born again. And the Spirit just does it so quietly and gently in you. But there's got to be this earthquake of a transformation and renewal. If life is still the same, I want to tell you, you need to find Christ. Because when Jesus came and walked this earth and he brought the truth of the kingdom of God, there was change everywhere he went. It was like an earthquake in the natural just taking place continually as he began to bring God into every situation. So the encouragement that I bring you, this God that's within you is faithful, and you put your faith in him. And as he puts his words within you, let God put those words in your mouth. I know the scripture tells us is that when you get into a difficult situation, do not think what you will say, but allow the Lord to put the words in your mouth and he will do it. I want to just say to you, may we live in that dimension. May we get out of the ordinary and live an extraordinary life. If this Christ dwells within us, your life should not be ordinary. It must be extraordinary. If we dwell in the Spirit, there's something in your life that needs to transform and change. If you're just going to live and according to your bank balance and according to what you decide to do, and you don't live by the leading of the Holy Spirit and allow Christ to work through you, I'm telling you, we've missed the mark. God wants to stir us up and stir us up into this deeper walk. Jesus went into a time, yes, it was ready for him, but he went and he met with people. And I want to just encourage you, whoever you find across your path, Lord, this is an opportunity for you to speak. Whether it's words of love, it doesn't have to be this profound revelation, but it's the words of the love of Christ. And as you bring the love of Christ and you bring His word into those situations, people are changed. And we have that testimony of Christ within us, His faithfulness within us, and have faith in His word that's within you. The next point, to live in any other way, is to resist God's grace towards us. And as I said earlier, as Jesus died on the cross and what He completed for us was the grace of God. Galatians 2:21, I do not nullify the grace of God. This completed work that He did on the cross, that He rose from the dead, and how we found ourselves in Him. And much of the church, as I said earlier, do not know this truth that Christ dwells within them. They have not grasped it. Why? Because they haven't sought it, number one. Secondly, they've been led astray through religious inaccuracies of doctrine, of understanding Christ. But mostly of all, because I believe there's doubt and unbelief in people's hearts. As I said earlier, is that I never knew that Christ dwelt within me, even though I was born again. But as the Holy Spirit began to reveal, then I put my trust in Him and my faith in Him, and I'm growing, understanding who this Christ is. Now, Paul can get to Philippians 3 and he can say that I might know Christ, that I might know Him more. You will never know the fullness of Christ. You will never know the fullness of Christ. But we need to know Him more. And as He revealed Himself to us, even something this morning, as we came into His presence to worship Him, that rich deposit that He's placed within us needs to be taken and worked out in your life. I love what Celeste said this morning. She said the Lord deposited something in her heart, but she couldn't share it. She had to go and work it out. And God's made a deposit in our hearts today, and there's something in it. Maybe you go home today and say, well, that was a good service, and maybe I was impressed. But if you don't work out this deposit that has made in your life, it's wasted. It's washed away. But if you take hold of this and say, Lord, there's something that You've deposited in my heart today, and you go home and you work it out, wow, it's a seed. It produces, and it eventually will produce fruit, and it'll produce the flower. So I wanted to say to you, encourage you, nothing that you can do today will change what Jesus has done already. But receive the grace of God. Like I said, how do you receive? I think that was a lesson, is so often that we're trying to do than rather than receive. There's something in receiving because it's the grace of God. And say, so, okay, when it's grace, what is the word that we use? Thank you. Because that's grace. When we do it in our own strength, I did it. But we say thank you for what Jesus has done for us. So I want to just say this outworking of the cross brings us to a place of identification. And I want to just deal with some things of identification, who we are in Christ. So I couldn't find my ID card, but here's my driver's license. And this is a form of ID and everything on the ID, but the ID card comes with more detail. It gives your full name. It gives your ID number. It gives your place of birth. It doesn't give your address on that. But you know that when we come to Christ, there's an identity. Every individual in the world, from when time began to time end, will have an identity. And everyone is unique in God. But we need to know our identity. So the first slide, I want to look at the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you see on the board there. So He was Jesus, and He was born in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, but from Nazareth. So Jesus was born, and we see that He was born physically, and they say He was born around the 13th of September, 3 BC. It cannot be confirmed, so Christmas Day, and I know Quinton dealt with that myth of Christmas Day. Jesus, I know we celebrate the birth of Christ on that day, but it was a pagan festival that actually took place on the 25th of December. So Jesus was born, and the scripture doesn't really tell us to celebrate birthdays, but we do, and I think it's good to celebrate birthdays. So Jesus was born around the 13th of September, 3 BC in Bethlehem, but Jesus died spiritually and physically, and we see from the Hebrew calendar, as was encouraged us on 3 Nisan, 3793 at 3 p.m. That was about 3rd of April, 30 AD, at 3 p.m. So he died at 3 o'clock. They didn't have the clock like we have it, but there was the morning, the midday, and the afternoon, and the evening. It was broken up into quarters. So Jesus physically died for all mankind there. And who is he today? Today he's in Christ. Presently he's physically in heaven, but he's in our hearts, in Christ in us, in our hearts today by the Holy Spirit. What is his passport? As he declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in a sense, that is just an identity of God. But that's the essence of what Jesus completed, brought us to an identity. Now we get to the next slide, is someone that doesn't know Christ. And I've called them Joseph and Jane. And the Bible tells us that Joseph and Jane are sons of disobedience, are sinners. And when Jesus died on the cross spiritually, he died for all mankind on the 3rd of April, 30 AD at 3 p.m. 3 Nisan 3793 at 3 p.m. And people physically all have to die. When you're born into the earth, and we understand that fact, and you and I here will one day die. And I hope you're prepared for that, because I'll give you the encouragement from the scripture, and I want to really encourage you today, because as you face death, it takes faith to die. But remember that the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So it's immediate. You take place. You're in Christ now, but immediately you die, you're with the Lord. Because remember, your body goes to decay, but your spirit and your soul go to be with Jesus immediately. So here are these people that are sons of disobedience, those in the world today that do not know Christ. There was a place that they were born, a day and a month and a year. And strangely enough, that I know in the modern day records we have places of birth, and we have to be registered with the authorities. But in even in Jesus' time, it wasn't accurate that they recorded. There wasn't a birth certificate. And even when we work into Africa, into many of the African countries, we find that many people don't have a birth certificate. They don't know. They actually don't know what day they were born. They don't even know what month. They don't. Some of them don't even know what year. They sort of know that was the time that they were born. But the new birth is something that everyone needs to experience. And people that do not know Christ, there's an empty space in that on their record. So when they find themselves out of Christ, the Bible says they are still sinners. And for everyone that's out of Christ, their destination is hell. And they have no passport to get into heaven. Now, I don't bring this out as something that we rejoice in, but it's something that is so important, because we need to understand not everyone is going to heaven. Not everyone is in Christ. And we understand that, but that's where we need to understand. When we look at people and we see their identity, is this person, we love this person, but have they an identity that they're going to have eternal life? And I think when we change our eyes and we look at people with different eyes, and not just seen as someone that we can befriend, but when we're looking at people, is this person, even though they might be religious and church going, are they going to heaven? We need to have that in our hearts. So, yeah, I know it's a hard decision, but the destination hell is a place of torment. I was just reading the scriptures again this week, and about the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar. And the rich man went to hell, and Lazarus went to heaven, and this massive chasm between the two places. And the rich man was in such torment in hell, and he said to Abraham, why don't you just send this man back to go and tell the people about the problems here? And he said, no, they must believe the scriptures. They must believe. But the reality of that, I want to just say today, heaven is a real place, and so is hell. And it's not God's plan for anyone to go there, but anyone that doesn't take hold of this completed work that Christ has given, there they will be in hell forever in torment. And the Bible, Jesus even spoke so often about it, and we don't preach enough about it. There'll be a gnashing of teeth. There will be burning. There'll be torment. And if you read some of the books that people have been to visit hell, as God revealed, it's a terrible place. And it's not God's plan for any to go there. And I think if we sometimes live with that in our heart and realize it's not just a sin issue, but it's a judgment issue, that they land up in hell forever. And the world today seems to be so caught up in their worldly systems and self-righteousness. They don't understand this issue of sin and the destination of hell. And I think sometimes when you're preaching to people, you need to speak to them about it and bring them to a knowledge that they can come to the love of God. And then thirdly, I'm using myself as an example as who we are in Christ. So my name is Mark, and God blessed me with a surname called Goodfellow. I don't know why he chose me that name, but we thank God for that. So my forefathers must have been good, but there's only one person that's good, and that's God our Father. But the Bible tells us that when we come into Christ, we are a son of God. And I want to encourage you, every one of you, as you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, this is not about a gender thing. It's who we are in Christ. There's no gender in heaven, if you understand it. Because when we get to the scriptures, it says, yeah, Jesus was asked, who will we be married in heaven? We're not married in heaven. We are sons of God in heaven. So there's gender on earth, but in heaven, there's only one. We are sons of God. So we all died, and I died with Christ, and this is where you need to put your name in. I'm no longer a sinner, but I died with the Lord on the cross those nearly 2,000 years ago, even though I wasn't there naturally, my physical, but I actually died, and I need to recognize that. So when was I born? God birthed me on the 7th of July, 1961, here in Johannesburg, and that's my mom here, and she had the privilege of giving birth to me. She's smiling now. God birthed me in 1961, but I had the privilege. I was part of the Methodist Church at that time, and we did a confirmation course, and I was inquiring, and around September 1977, I gave my heart to the Lord. And that's the date of my new birth that I know that I gave. I didn't always necessarily follow the Lord clearly after that time. But God has been gracious and brought me to this place where I find myself today in Him. So I find myself in Christ today, like you and I, in Christ. Today I'm a citizen of heaven, and we need to recognize that. Well, I said to you, it's important when we understand who we are, that even though I'm born in South Africa, I'm a South African citizen, I have a South African ID card, I have a South African passport, but actually I have a passport of heaven. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm a citizen of heaven, and that's who you and I are. So what is my passport to get into heaven? It's eternal life in Christ. And I wanted to say that identity, as we come on this Passover weekend, as we come to recognize what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus has been fulfilled by the Father in raising Him from the dead and raising us from the dead, brings us into an identity in Christ, that we have died, but now we are alive in Christ. So from a spiritual point of view, if you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you're alive. If you don't, you are dead, even though you're physically in a body. And I want to encourage you, walk in this identity of being a child of God. Be the one who Christ is in you. And may the power of what Christ has completed and the living Christ within you be your reality. I really trust that the Lord has actually encouraged you today to understand what actually happened on that Passover nearly 2,000 years ago, and that we can live in the reality today, and you can continue to preach this gospel of the good news, the finished work of what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. It's an incredible gift that every one of us have received. It's nothing something that we must take for granted, and we need to be thankful about the salvation that Jesus has actually given to us. Amen. Are you rejoicing in Him? Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know that you have an eternity with Him? Isn't that incredible? We have time to rejoice today. So I want to just pray for you and give thanks to the Lord for what He's done in our lives. Again, Father, as we've gathered in the name of Jesus here this morning, and Lord, you've encouraged us through worship, you've encouraged us through the prophetic, you've encouraged us through your word, and you've brought us to a place of freedom in Christ. And Father, we just thank you. It's not by what we've done, but it's what you've done in you, Lord, and this free gift of grace, the salvation that we've received. We say thank you to you this morning again. And Lord, as we continue to live in you and you live through us, may we fully comprehend who we are in Christ. And may we live by your faith, and may we have expression of you here on earth. Take us into the depth of this deposit that you've placed within our hearts today. There's something that you've done special in every one of our lives today, Lord. There's this gold nugget that has been unearthed. And Lord, may we find that, every one of us. May we not just get into the humdrum of normal day life, but may we get into the fullness of what you have for us. So we commit our ways to you. We commit our lives to you. May our lives be pleasing to you. May we bring glory to you. May we honor you in all that we do today. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Teach us Christ. Teach us the fullness of Christ, we asked. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sandy wants to share something. Sandy? Just give us the mic there. This is Sandy. Sandy's husband, Colin's been in hospital.
Oh, I just want to thank everybody for the prayers for Colin. And I just want to tell you how God has worked in my life. Since he's had, tomorrow is 6 weeks that he had the stroke, he was paralyzed, the left side. He's in a normal ward. He's going to rehab next week. He can talk. He can move his whole body. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus. And I've had the most beautiful 6 weeks. I haven't been afraid of everything. I've just had this peace, this wonderful peace of our Father.
Amen.
And it's just, I can't explain it to you, but I've had no fear. I know that the Lord is with me, and he's with Colin. And whatever would have happened to him, I had a peace. I go to bed at night. I sleep right through. He's just given me such, I don't know how to say it.
Wonderful.
I just want to thank you, and thank you for the prayer.
Father, we just thank you for Colin and Sandy. Thank you for your faithfulness, as you even taught us this morning. You are faithful to your word. You are faithful to answering prayer. And we just want to give you thanks and give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord, for what you are doing. Continue to show Colin and Sandy your goodness. Go before them, bring healing in every way. Lord, you are in control. And Lord, will you work this out for the glory of your name? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sandy. Well, God bless you all. We want to invite you, if you would like to stay, we're going to be gathering at the top on the patio there for some tea and coffee and cappuccinos, if you would like, and then some hot cross buns. God bless you all. Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you. Amen.